The Venezuelan Supreme Court has barred the self-declared interim leader, Juan Guaido, from leaving the country. It's also frozen his bank accounts following a request by the government of President Nicolas Maduro. In response, the US National Security Advisor John Bolton has warned of serious consequences for those who attempt to subvert democracy and harm Guaido. Tensions have been rising over the past week. As you may have heard, the US, Australia and many other countries now recognise Mr. Guaido as Venezuela's legitimate leader. But Mr. Maduro refuses to step down and has accused the opposition of trying to stage a coup. Amid all of this, a petition's been signed by dozens of scholars and journalists, including John Pilger and Noam Chomsky, calling for an end to US interference in Venezuela. Sujatha Fernandez is one of the signatories. She's a professor of political economy and sociology at the University of Sydney. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Why have you added your name to this statement? What are your main concerns?
Well, my main concern is that this is an extremely dangerous moment, that US intervention and foreign intervention in general could fan the flames of what is right now a very serious situation of polarization and crisis within Venezuela, and the kinds of what I see as promotion of right-wing coup activity could definitely inflame that situation.
You've described the crisis in Venezuela as a right-wing coup. How is that the case?
Last Wednesday, Juan Guaido declared himself to be president of Venezuela. He was not elected in any kind of election. He simply declared it, and the Trump administration in the US recognized him for making that statement as being the leader of the president of Venezuela. When there is already a president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, he has not stepped down. He's not shown any sign of abandoning the presidency. And Guaido himself comes from a right-wing popular will party. He has had sort of associations and alliances with far right-wing leaders like Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil. And so I see what is happening is as unconstitutional, as illegal, and as essentially constituting a coup.
How can Nicolas Maduro claim to be the legitimate president when the opposition boycotted the election last May because some of their main leaders were actually barred from standing?
So there were a number of irregularities in the election last year. And yes, one of them was the use of the constitution to bar these leaders. Now, three of the main opposition parties were barred from contesting the elections, which is why it's led many to say that was an illegitimate election. Now, technically, these three opposition parties had boycotted an earlier mayoral election. And as a result of that, Maduro used the constitution to say that he didn't actually ban them. He said that they needed to reapply for legal status according to the constitution. They needed to be revalidated in order to enter the new election. Now, they chose not to. Whether they could have been validated, whether they could have sort of navigated the laws of the electoral system in order to gain validation, I don't know. And I don't know if people can answer that question. Certainly, the Maduro government probably would have used manipulation and fraud to make that difficult for them. But the case is that they didn't officially ban them, and that the opposition in Venezuela has had a history of boycotting elections.
Sure, but they made it incredibly difficult for them to participate, which compromised a democratic election. Wouldn't you concede that?
Absolutely, yes, I do think that. And I think that there's been a lot of this kind of tit for tat and problems on both sides. The opposition was declaring that there were many problems, that they, part of the reason that they had boycotted earlier elections, they were claiming, is that there were many irregularities with voting machines, with fingerprint scanners. I don't think that holds weight, because I think, you know, that the electoral system has been audited by international observers. It's been shown to be okay. I think part of the issue here, I'm not saying the whole issue, but I think part of the issue is that one of the strategies of the opposition, but particularly in the more aggressive sections of the opposition, has been to try to force a collapse of the government, to abstain from democratic processes, to try to pursue exactly the path that some of them are pursuing now, which is this path of coup d'etat, this path of regime change that is supported by the United States.
And Maduro has also been known for imprisoning political opponents, many jailed in exile or disqualified from holding office. These are the questions that, of course, mar his presidency and raise significant questions about legitimacy.
Absolutely. And I think there have been issues of you know, imprisoning opposition, of tamping down on opposition rather than engaging in dialogue. There have been questions of corruption. I don't think that what we're doing here, for instance, by signing the petition, is defending the Maduro government as completely legitimate. What we're doing is we're saying that he was recognized by, you know, an election last year as a legitimate leader. Guaido was never elected. Guaido was never recognized by the population of Venezuela as their leader. And what needs to happen now, rather than regime change through forced coups, is negotiation, is engaging in dialogue between these very polarized sections in Venezuela. I mean, there's no doubt that what we're seeing in Venezuela right now is a massive political crisis.
You say dialogue is the best way forward, but could both sides be willing to come together to talk?
To be honest, I can't see Maduro and Guaido coming together to talk. And I think that's partly because in some ways, although Guaido holds, you know, as president of the National Assembly, he's somewhat of a newcomer to the political scene. And I don't think he's someone who really represents all of the different strands of the political opposition within Venezuela. And so I think first, you know, perhaps thinking about this guy's just been thrust into the spotlight because he happened to make a declaration. He happened to be recognized by Trump. Is he necessarily the best person that the opposition would want representing them in an election, representing them as their figure? That's not clear. And so I think rather than being thrown into action by incidences determined largely by the United States and by the Trump administration, I think a better thing is for, again, some of these realignments, some of these discussions to take place within Venezuela, and then perhaps a more moderate leader, I think, could have some grounds in which to have conversation and dialogue with Maduro. I don't think that somebody to the far right, as extreme as Guaido, would necessarily have much in common and be able to do that kind of negotiation.
Many thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
Sujatha Fernandez is a professor of political economy and sociology at the University of Sydney.